Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
All right, so we have an update on Chiefsaholic. You guys remember Chiefsaholic was the Chiefs fan that was going around robbing banks. If you don't know what I'm talking about, there is a documentary on Amazon Prime. I don't know if I would encourage you to watch it, but it's definitely something. So he has been charged, sentenced, 32 years. So to give you guys a little bit of clarity, he is serving 17 and a half years in a federal prison because, you know, going across state lines, robbing people, brandishing guns at folks, they frown upon that. So he's going to serve 17 and a half years in a federal prison. He then is going to be transferred to Oklahoma, and then he's going to serve the remaining 14 and a half years. So that's how they get to the 32 there. So moral of the story is he's going to be in jail for a very, very long time. We don't have to spend a whole lot of time on this, but I actually did watch the documentary, and I want to give you very quickly what my takeaways from the doc were. Takeaway number one. Now, I think we've learned this in other documentaries, and we will probably learn it again, but usually when people are flashing that kind of cash or living that kind of lifestyle, either one of two things are the case. They are insanely rich. I mean, one of the richest and wealthiest people that you know. Rob, you and I, through our jobs, get to meet some pretty well-off people. He was living better than them. I don't think you understand how much it costs to go to all of the Chiefs games and sit front row at all of the Chiefs games and gamble the way that he was gambling and eating and staying at these hotels and doing all of these things. You got to make a lot of money in order to do that. So you were just an insanely rich and wealthy person. Or B, it's fake. It's for the gram. And eventually it is going to come tumbling down. And that is eventually what happened to Chiefsaholic. Number two. Now, I'm sure you love a lot of people in your life. You love your mom. Happy Mother's Day. You love your wife. Happy Mother's Day. You love your kids. You love your best friends. You love a lot of people. For those of you that have seen that documentary, you know exactly what I'm thinking. You don't love anybody the way that woman from New Jersey loved Chiefsaholic. It is impossible for you to love any person or thing the way that woman loved Chiefsaholic. She said the Super Bowl wasn't as meaningful to her because Chiefsaholic wasn't free to celebrate. That's what this woman said. So I don't know how she's handling this. Hopefully she's putting some money on his books. Hopefully she's going to visit him in the federal prison. I'm telling you, we all need somebody that has shown the loyalty and love that woman showed toward Chiefsaholic. Well, I think this is the end of his story. 32 years in jail, Rob. He is going to do 17 and a half in federal prison. and he will serve 14 and a half years in Oklahoma. That is where he will be transferred to do the remainder of his sentence. I am curious how many of those years he actually do. We need to see people get out early all the time. And how old will Chiefsaholic be whenever he comes out? Because it does not seem like he will be coming out of jail for quite some time. So that is the final update that this show will ever have about Chiefsaholic.
I will say that woman from New Jersey, that I've seen the documentary. I watched my wife, who did not know the story of Chiefsaholic, and her big takeaway was, someone literally robbed banks to watch Chiefs games. And I said, yes, that's the thing that happened. Like, it was not a bit on our show. It was a real thing. But the idea that a person who was alleging on the documentary a Chiefs fan felt like unfulfilled by the Chiefs' success because Chiefsaholic wasn't part of it, just nonsense to me. I also think Chiefsaholic gave Chiefs fans a bad name for a while. He was the butt of Pat McAfee's jokes for a long time. And obviously, I think he has, you know, some traumatic past, and I'm never going to condone robbing banks, and he's a criminal, all those things. But he made Chiefs fans a punching bag for a while for the national media types.
Yeah, I mean, I think the Chiefsaholic story is actually pretty easy to figure out. I thought this before watching the documentary, and the documentary only confirmed what I thought before. Chiefsaholic was never cool. Chiefsaholic didn't have a lot of friends. He was never popular. And for the first time in his life, he found a community in which he was one of the more important people of. He was one of the people that you were one of the more popular and prominent Chiefs fans. And in order to continue to be that, you got to keep up appearances. And in order to keep up those appearances, you needed a lot of money. You needed a whole lot of money to be able to do what he is doing. Well, if you don't make enough to do this, you were then faced with the decision. You came to a crossroads. You can steal to maintain this image that you have put away, or you can stop being this person and go back to being a nobody. And he made a decision. I want people to know who I am. I want to be popular. I want to be part of this community. I want to look cool for the first time in my life. And that's what happened.
And I don't think you're wrong. To my point about it giving Chiefs fans a little bit of a bad name, at least the doc made it seem like Chiefs fans made him one of their, like, pillar figures of the Chiefs Kingdom community. I don't believe that, but that's the way the doc made it seem. Was he was this super prominent Chiefs fan that, you know, Chiefs took fans took photos when they saw
it. I actually kind of think that he was. This is the thing.
Maybe this is just my hate of super fandom and that whole genre of person that is bleeding through here. But you're telling me people were walking around Arrowhead getting ready to see Patrick Mahomes and they saw a dude in a wolf costume and thought, it's photo time? That's Chiefsaholic? That's not a thing?
Yes, I do think that. I'm serious. I do think that. You know how people are. You know people are weird. I mean, people were doing that with X Factor. If there is any group of people, any group, there are usually leaders and prominent people in that group. Chiefs fans are a community. Now, some people just aren't actively engaged in that community. Hey, I don't care about that. I watch the games on television. I'm a fan, but I'm not into all that fan stuff that you guys are into. That's perfectly fine. But I think at this point, we know who the prominent Chiefs fans are. If I tell you guys, hey, do you know the woman that goes to the game and she has the two little puppets and they're boxing each other? Do you know who that person is? Everyone's like, oh, yeah, I've seen her. How about the one guy that looks like Chandler from Friends? You know what I'm talking about? They show him all the time
with
on the television.
The blazer that has Patrick Mahomes' face on it, yeah.
He's one of the prominent people. Chiefsaholic is one of those prominent people. Weird Wolf. You know exactly who I'm talking about. If in every group there are leaders, he was one of the leaders. Now, sure, it's a very small thing. You're a fan that cheers for a team. It's cool, right? Like, they're harmless people. I'm not here throwing shade at anybody. But you are one of the more prominent people. Chiefsaholic was one of the more prominent Chiefs fans. He absolutely was. And the story is just crazy. The story's crazy. We all do very weird things for our fandom, whatever it is, right? Weird things for our fandom. This is a story that everybody can relate to. And this is a story that even then it's like, you did that for that? It's a wild story. Again, I'm not telling you to watch the documentary, but it is a crazy story. Someone on the text line said, don't forget fake Andy Reid. You absolutely know who I'm talking about. And people are, I've taken a picture with fake Andy Reid before. I mean, I don't know his real name. You just fake Andy Reid at this point. Rob, there's a woman that makes a decent amount of money walking around because she looks like Taylor Swift. You know exactly what I'm talking about. I've taken a picture with her. Very, very nice woman. She looks close enough to Taylor Swift. She gets booked for birthday parties. She gets booked for karaoke. You don't think people are walking into Arrowhead taking pictures with the guy who is in a wolf costume? They absolutely are. Remember KC Royal Man that used to wear the cape and stuff and walk in there? Yeah, I'm telling you, every group has a leader. Everyone. For sure. Someone says there's no hierarchy in a fan base. There is. I'm telling you, there is. There is. We know those people. Fireman Ed for the Jets. Remember the guy for the Broncos used to wear the barrel? There is a hierarchy. There absolutely is. There's some of you have been to a lot of Chiefs games. They ain't never shown you on television. There's some people, they show them on the TV every single time when they go to the game. There's a difference.
I guess I just don't
you
like...
You always talk about Moose Antler guy. You always make fun of Moose Antler guy. We don't know that man's name to save his life. I'm sure he's a great person. You talk about Moose Antler guy at least once a week on this show. Royal super fan.
Because he frustrates me because...
Because you be hating. That's why you be hating.
I guess my larger point, and it's societal, it's not about Chiefsaholic, is we shouldn't treat super fans like celebrities. The Moose Antler guy... I saw him at the K walking
I got a
around.
Picture with the Moose Antlers. It was just kind of cool.
People got remember the balloon girl? People took photos of her. Why? They're just regular people who are fans, the same way me and you are. I don't like this, you know, making celebrities out of regular schmoes who just go to Chiefs games. If ESPN wants to make him a celebrity, cool. Don't feed into it, please. It just bothers me.
Man, people are just naming more fans that I've taken a picture with. I have a picture with Marlins, man, too. Yeah, there's a lot of super fans. Yeah, you can make it to that point. All of us root for sports. Somebody, a few select group of people have made it to the point of just insane popularity and cheering for a team. Someone asked, why are we talking about this? Chiefsaholic. He has now been sentenced. It is now over 32 years. He's going to do 17 years in federal. He's going to do the rest in Oklahoma. So now the book is closed in Chiefsaholic. The story of Chiefsaholic. So I would say shout out to him normally. That's normally what I would do. But I don't know if I can shout you out. You a felon. Coming up on the other side, we'll get back to serious football things. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison. Watch the show on YouTube by subscribing to the 965 YouTube channel. The Drive brought to you by DM Entry Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Entry Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this. 965, The Fan.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
Optimize your nutrition this year with Factor, America's number one ready-to-eat meal service. Factor's fresh, never-frozen meals are dietitian-approved, ready to eat in just 2 minutes. Choose from 40 weekly options across 8 dietary preferences like Calorie Smart, Protein Plus, and Keto. Eat smarter at factormeals.com/listen50 and use code LISTEN50 for 50% off plus free shipping on your first box. Factormeals.com/listen50, code LISTEN50.
All right, let's talk about this. Actually, I think I teased football. I don't want to talk football right now. Let's talk a little bit of Royals baseball. I switched up on you. I don't know if a lot of people go to this website or not, but they really should. It's a really cool website. It's called RoyalsReview.com. Shout out to the people over at RoyalsReview.com. It is basically Arrowhead Pride, but the Royals version of it. So RoyalsReview.com. So I was going on there to get ready for the show. I like to read what they have. And one of their top stories, the headline is, "What if this is just who the Royals are?" So I clicked on the story. Now, I'm not going to read the whole story to you. I'll read the byline to you, and I think it will make a lot of sense. What if this is just who the Royals are? The offense might never improve, but that doesn't have to mean that the Royals are in trouble. You know what? I think that actually makes a lot of sense about this team. Now, I think the question is, what do you do about it, and what does that mean? I think in a lot of ways, this just kind of is who the Royals are. We have seen, if you go back to last season, so if you were using September, the month of October, and all of this year, I know it's early, they've only played 42 games, as an example, I think you have a good understanding of who the Royals' offense is. I also agree with the other half of the statement, but that doesn't have to mean trouble. I think the Royals are good enough in all of the other areas that they can still make the postseason with this very obvious flaw. The Royals might have the best pitching staff if you were looking at starting pitching and bullpen in Major League Baseball. They're certainly in the conversation. And if you pitch the way that the Royals pitch and play defense the way that they play defense, then you got a shot to win every single game that you were in. And we saw last year, if you win the right games and the games that you're supposed to win, you can win 85, 86 games, and you can make the postseason. So I would agree. It doesn't have to mean trouble for the Royals. The Royals are still in a very, very good spot. They are one of the better teams in the American League. But I think we have seen this enough with the Royals. I think you've seen this in football. I think you've seen this in basketball. If your team can't score, you just have a lower ceiling on what you can accomplish. You guys saw a lot of great Chiefs teams in the 90s. Teams that are the foundation of your fandom and what made you love the Kansas City Chiefs. You saw a lot of teams that couldn't score. And if you were trying to beat other good NFL teams 13-10, man, it's really, really hard to do. A lot has to go right. You can't make a lot of mistakes in that scenario because one pick six, one fumble, one holding call on a third down, that is all it takes for you to be eliminated. I think that's what we're talking about for the Royals now at this point. There is a measure of satisfaction that I have with the Royals. The fact that we are even having this conversation about the Royals having a higher ceiling and being a very dangerous team is an exciting conversation. And there is one part of me that I accept this is who the Royals are potentially going to be. They're going to be a team that the offense is up and down and fluctuates all year. It's a team that you think can pitch with just about anybody, a team that could win 84 to 86 games, be in contention, possibly win a wild card round, and keep us entertained and engaged the entire year. I believe that about the Royals. But if you're somebody that wants to think big, if you're somebody that has higher hopes and aspirations for the Royals, then at some point they're going to have to do something to change it. they're going to have to make a move and be aggressive in a certain way that you're going to have to give up some of the things that you have accumulated to go get some of the things that you don't have. And if you look at the back half of the Royals lineup, I just think at this point, we know that that is not a grouping that will ever be consistent. Now, that's not different than a lot of other teams. But if you want the Royals to move from kind of where they are in that borderline wild card, maybe win their wild card series, likely lose in the first round to a team that's better than them, then something drastic is going to have to happen. So I guess to answer the question, I would say yes. This is who I think the Royals are. A really good, flawed team that has a pretty relatively defined ceiling based on their offense. If the Royals want to be a better organization than that and a better team, then something is going to have to happen near the deadline where they are going to have to add an impact bat. Because right now, that is all we're talking about with this team. I don't have many questions about their starting pitching. I don't have many questions about the bullpen. Every day that you sit down and watch the Royals on television, or when you buy a ticket, you are asking yourself, are they going to score enough? This weekend, if you went out to the ballpark, the answer was no. And a lot of you went out to the ballpark. They got almost 90,000 people for their three games this week. I mean, they scored barely just enough on Friday. And on Saturday and Sunday, you just didn't do enough offensively to beat another good quality team the way that the Red Sox are. So to answer the question, the answer is yes. I don't know if the offense is going to be much better than what it currently is with the pieces that they have. It doesn't have to mean trouble for the Kansas City Royals. You can still make the postseason the way that they are right now. But if you got dreams and aspirations about being bigger than that, eventually something has to change and your lineup and roster has to change. And I'm not just talking about bringing somebody up from the minors. I'm talking about going to get an outfielder from somebody else's team and adding him to be your fifth or sixth hitter. That's what needs to change in the off or near the deadline.
So we absolutely agree. They need to make, and I think it's multiple moves. I think you add a cheap minor-ish move, and then you take a big swing to try to get, you know, Jorge Soler is a name I've seen. Like, you try to get that level, and then you also hope Cags comes up, and then there's a kid in AAA who a lot of people are comparing to a Whit Merrifield. His name's Peyton Wilson. I think it's going to take more than one singular move. We agree on that. The Royals are going to need to make multiple additions to fix their fatal flaw. But to answer your question, I 100% agree with you. This is who the Royals are. We're going to see them at some point this season go through another bad stretch like they had in April, because they're not hitting enough, and they're going to lose games 4-2, 2-1, and it's going to make you want to pull your hair out. There's going to be another point this season when they get red hot, though, where they're going to go 15-2 over 17 because the hitting is going to work. For a cross-sport comparison, which is really one of the pillars of this show.
We love them.
Do you know what the Royals are? They're Virginia basketball. Some years, the defense of Virginia basketball was good enough that they shut down everyone and they got just enough scoring. They won a national title. I can see the Royals hitters, Vinny, Bobby, Salvi, all getting hot in October. And with that staff, they could be a beast to reckon with. I could see it. They have more Virginia basketball. Kyle Guy became Inferno, and that team won a national title. Ty Jerome got really good. That team won a national title. You know what happened the year before? They couldn't score at all, and Virginia had a bad night, and their defense disappeared, and they lost. I could see that, too. The Royals could be in the same wild card game they're in last year, or wild card series, excuse me. And instead of getting elite pitching and just enough hitting, they might get just okay pitching and not enough hitting, and they're out in the first round. I could see either scenario. It's going to be a matter of, are they in one of those hot spurts or are they in the midst of a cold stretch come October if they make no changes? And that's fine. That's who the Royals are. They are a hot streak away from being a prohibitive problem. They're also a cold streak away from being a team that you're going to be like, is this a playoff team? But we agree. The larger point is, I think J.J. Piccolo sees that. I think John Sherman sees that. And I think help is on the way in the form of multiple bats from outside of the organization and probably bats from inside the organization. It's just they've played 42 games. I don't think they're making wide sweeping changes yet, but changes will be coming.
This would be my question, though, because I would say 80% of me agrees with what you're saying. So I don't want to make it seem like we're that far off of it. The same problem that you and I saw for this team on January 12th It is the same problem that we see for them on May 12th, and a lot of this on to go address what that issue is. I mean, their offense is why they got eliminated last year in the postseason. The Yankees didn't come in here and just, hey, 8-1, 9-1. No, the Royals had a chance to win all of those games. Why did they lose? They couldn't score enough. Now, as we start the season, now, they are over 500. They're in third place in their division. I mean, they're 13th in the American League in scoring. They're 13th in the American League on base percentage. They're 13th in the American League in slugging percentage. They're 26th overall in baseball this season. Someone on the text line says, this reminds me a lot of the Chiefs winning or losing without much offense. They are not like the Chiefs. The Chiefs' offense was average. We are used to the Chiefs' offense being high-flying, dynamic. We're used to Patrick Mahomes throwing for 50 touchdowns, 5,000 yards, and being the best quarterback, the MVP of the league. The Chiefs' offense was just regular last year. That is not what the Royals' offense is statistically. The Chiefs' offense last year was 17th, slightly below average. The Royals' offense is bottom five. That's really, really hard to overcome. You can make it like the Chiefs did last year, where you are elite at one side of the ball. They were top five defensively. They were fourth in points given up with an average offense. It's really hard to do it where one of your sides of the ball in this context in baseball is bad. It's bad. Their offense is bad. There's really no other way to quantify it. The only teams they are better than so far offensively are teams that are basically about to give up on their season. They're better offensively than Pittsburgh, Chicago, and Colorado. That's really about it in Major League Baseball. So you just have to do a lot of work in all of the other areas to make up for the fact that you don't feel like you can consistently score. And I think that's where the crossroads, where we are with the Royals. So to go back to the main point, I agree with them. Yes, I do think this is what the Royals are. I still think they can make the playoffs this way. You can't dream big with a bottom five offense. The same way in football with the Chiefs. Hey, you can get real close with a defense as bad as the Chiefs had back in 2018, but everything has to go right. You needed Patrick Mahomes to have one of the greatest seasons in the history of the National Football League, and even that wasn't enough in order for you to go to and potentially win the Super Bowl. You need almost everything to line up perfectly if one side of your offense or one side of your defense is going to be bad, where you got to carry the rest of the team, and that's where the Royals are right now.
And I think, and to your point about, hey, we had this conversation in January, I think, and it has backfired. I'm not crediting the Royals for this, but I think one thing they thought come January is, we're going to try to find that outfield bat. They never got it. It never, price point, trades. We know they were trying for players. There were reports that they came close on Yerkes and Profar. They got outbid. They came close on Anthony Santander. They got outbid. They tried. They failed, though. But I think their thought process in January was, okay, we couldn't get the outfield bat. But last year, the Royals were 13th in runs per game. 13th. That is average, or a little above average in Major League Baseball. They felt like adding Jonathan India, if they could be another average-level offense with their pitching, they could be better this year than last year. That was their thought. I don't think the powers that be over at, is it One Kauffman Drive, whatever they call it, Royal Way?
Royal Way.
It is Royal Way. I don't think the powers that be over at Royal Way thought they would go from, in 2024, where 13th in runs per game, or 13th in total runs, to 26th. That's a precipitous drop. That's monumental fall off a cliff level behavior. That's everyone regressing all at the same time, which is basically what's happened sans Bobby. So it's not working. The plan failed, and I get why fans are mad. But when you ask, hey, what's different now? We had these conversations in January. In January, they were a middle of the pack offense that we felt like if they can get that again, they'll be okay. They haven't sniffed that in 2025.
I've got two questions to ask you. One question I don't think I've ever asked you before. Who do you think is better, Derek Carr or Alex Smith? I asked that question because Derek Carr recently retired. Alex Smith obviously been retired for some time. We talk about him potentially being in the Chiefs Ring of Honor. I do think eventually he'll be in the Chiefs Ring of Honor.
Which is nonsense to me, by the way. So I apologize for interrupting.
Oh, you're good.
Alex Smith in the Ring of Honors. What are we doing?
Who do you think is the better quarterback between those two?
So you asked me this earlier today when we were talking about Derek Carr. And my knee jerk was, oh, it's Alex Smith. It's got to be Alex Smith. Then I started looking at the numbers. The answer is Derek Carr. Alex Smith in his career threw for 35,000 yards and 199 touchdowns, went to Pro Bowl three times. There is absolutely nothing wrong with that career. I think sometimes it gets knocked as not being great, but that's a fine NFL career. Meanwhile, Derek Carr threw for more yards, more touchdowns, threw for 41,000 yards, he threw for 257 touchdowns, went to the Pro Bowl more often. He was also at one point top five in MVP consideration, something Alex Smith literally never did in his NFL career. Like, I think history will remember that Derek Carr was a better quarterback than Alex Smith. And it's not like either of them are peppered with massive playoff successes. The knee jerk was Alex Smith. You do the research, the answer is Derek Carr. Derek Carr was a better NFL quarterback than Alex Smith.
Yeah, I think so too. I think that both of them are examples of a couple of things. I think there is just a group of quarterbacks in the NFL that are just solid. I think that's what Derek Carr was for quite some time. Now, I think his body eventually failed him, but I think that Derek Carr for a time was pretty clearly a solid quarterback in the league. I think most people would say the same thing about Alex Smith. Like, there was a time where we would compare like 20 different quarterbacks in the league. Oh, he's Alex Smith. Like, he was kind of the example of what it is to have the 13th best quarterback in the league. You could certainly do a lot better than that quarterback. You could do way worse than that other person. I also think that Derek Carr in his career is just going to be, can I read to you the coaches that he had in his NFL career? Because I think a lot of why we feel the way we feel about Alex Smith is eventually someone came to save him. His career was failing. It was going real bad for Alex Smith. Eventually, Harbaugh came and resurrected his career. And then Andy Reid came and resurrected his career and really changed how people felt about him. I mean, these were the coaches that Derek Carr had. Dennis Allen, Tony Sperano, Jack Del Rio, John Gruden, Rich Bisaccia, Josh McDaniels, Kellen Moore. Those are the head coaches that he got in his NFL career. I mean, they didn't really give you a whole lot of chances for a whole lot of success if those are the coaches that you get handed. I think we have learned time and time again, yes, sometimes it is your own talent and the kind of player that you are. A lot of it is also situational. Who you get placed with, what organization you get drafted by, who's around you. Those things matter when you're this talent of quarterback. And Derek Carr just never really had a chance at being much better than what he was. Solid. Derek Carr was going to throw for 20 touchdowns. He was going to have 9 interceptions. Your team might finish over 500. Maybe you could grab a wild card spot. That was kind of all you were going to be if you were a quarterback. So, no, I'm right. Like, if you go back and look at the numbers, it's not really close between the two. Derek Carr had a better completion percentage, threw for more yards, more touchdowns. He is a better individual player. I think most people would feel the way they feel about Alex Smith is somebody eventually came to save him, and nobody ever went to go save Derek Carr.
I also, and I understand why this is a sentiment on the text line, that Derek Carr never won a playoff game. He was 0-1 in the playoffs, and that is part of Derek Carr's story. I also think playoff wins is not a great metric to judge, you know, middling quarterbacks. But one thing about Derek Carr's career that I think people forget, it was 2016. He finished third in the MVP voting. Remember in week 17, or I guess week 16 at the time, he broke his foot. He broke his ankle and he couldn't start a playoff game. And the Raiders with Matt McGloin, I believe, just got drubbed by the Texans. But you're telling me that a Texans team with Brian Hoyer would have beaten Derek Carr? I don't think so. Now, we'll never know. It's a what if that Raiders fans will sit around and commiserate about, so who cares? But I think playoff wins is a bad metric when comparing these two, because it's not like either of them were just, well, one, they were both okay in the regular season, but one was just a, you know, can't stop machine in the playoffs. They were very close to Spider-Man meme, but I think Derek Carr had a better career.
Yeah, I mean, I also think, I mean, but the thing I do think I give Alex Smith a lot of credit for, Alex Smith did play well in those postseason games. Like, He is a guy that I think you and I have the same opinion about Alex Smith. He also played pretty well. Like, I'm looking back at the – so he has two postseason wins in his career. Both are in the wild card round. Like, I don't know why we're beating our chest about playing well in the wild card round, but that's neither here nor there.
One was against Brian Hoyer. I mean, that –
The other one was against Drew Brees. And in that game, he threw for 300 yards, three touchdowns, and no interceptions. Like, you get credit – and he also ran for a touchdown. You get credit for that. Like, Alex Smith is a guy that I think has shown in multiple examples – that, hey, I can elevate my play a little bit. Now, you're right. You're going to hit a ceiling at some point. You're going to go up against a better quarterback, and eventually you're going to lose. Both of them had, I think, pretty serviceable careers. Congratulations to Alex Smith. He certainly moved on and had great success post-NFL career. I think that Derek Carr is going to do the exact same. Derek Carr recently retired this weekend from the New Orleans Saints. If you look at the deal, he actually kind of gave them a little bit of a pass financially. They owed him a lot more money than what he ended up walking away with, but physically, he can't perform anymore. Now the Saints go. The Saints might have the worst quarterback situation in the National Football League. We'll keep talking Royals here and getting you ready for their game tonight coming up against the Astros. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison on your home for Kansas City sports. 96.5, The Fan. Brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
Optimize your nutrition this year with Factor, America's number one ready-to-eat meal service. Factor's fresh, never-frozen meals are dietitian-approved, ready to eat in just 2 minutes. Choose from 40 weekly options across 8 dietary preferences like Calorie Smart, Protein Plus, and Keto. Eat smarter at factormeals.com/listen50 and use code LISTEN50 for 50% off plus free shipping on your first box. Factormeals.com/listen50, code LISTEN50.
Let me know what you guys think. We were having the conversation of what quarterback do you think had the better career? What quarterback do you think was better, Derek Carr or Alex Smith? Alex Smith is retired. Now Derek Carr is retired. In their career, Alex Smith played for 14 seasons. He threw, where was it at? I had it, then I lost it. 168 touchdowns. My apologies in finding that. And Derek Carr in his career, he threw 257 in his career, so certainly a lot more for Derek Carr. Carr wasn't nearly as mobile as Alex Smith. Alex Smith did have a little mobility. He wasn't like the most mobile quarterback. He could run a little bit. Also had a little bit more postseason success. I feel like they are very, very comparable. One just got a chance to get coached by good coaches and the other one didn't. And I think ultimately that ended up being the difference in their career. Let's talk about this real quick, Rob. Now, maybe I'm crazy in thinking this, but you know what? I thought that Friday was going to be like one of those moments that was going to like be a spark to the Royals season. I think every year I'm looking, and maybe it's because I was at this game when I was a kid, but you remember back in 2003 when the Royals won that Friday Buck Night game and Ken Harvey hit that home run. It was an extra innings, and, you know, it was a really, really big win. You know, it was kind of one of those games that was cool to be at. I thought that's what Friday's game had a chance to be. The Royals potentially stole one. Great crowd, beautiful night, 30,000. The Royals get a walk-off big extra inning win, the fireworks. They continue their winning streak. They continue the hot streak that they've been on. I thought that Friday was going to be one of those moments that really sparked the rest of the season. Then they scored two runs the next 2 days. Baseball, unpredictable. I really thought that about Friday, though. I really thought that Friday had a chance to kind of be one of those games for the Kansas City Royals. And now it's, you know, get back to the basics. I'm really excited about this series, and we had Robert Ford on earlier, is I'm always intrigued to see the Royals play against teams that are in their own weight class. I do think we've seen enough Royals baseball over the last, I don't know, year and a half or so. Like, there is a group of teams that it's pretty clear they're better than. Like, I would say the Orioles are now in that conversation. I know they played them last year in the postseason. Like, nothing the Orioles have done since the All-Star break last year would lead me to believe that they are on the same tier as the Kansas City Royals. And the Royals have really done a good job the last 3 weeks of doing what they're supposed to do against those teams. Well, now the schedule is turning just a little bit. You go against a Cardinals team that's 3 games over .500. You go against an Astros team that has had great success over the last 7-8 years or so, and you are coming off playing the Boston Red Sox. These are all teams that are hovering around the same. Boston is 22-20. The Astros are 20-19. The Cardinals are 22-19. So we are talking about slightly above average teams. They got a little bit of a good pedigree. These have better payrolls than you do. These are good clubs. I'm always intrigued to see how the Royals kind of stack up against that level of competition. They lost the series this weekend to the Red Sox, but you got two series coming up against good teams this week. I'm intrigued to see how they perform.
I get what you're saying about the, you know, that being a catalyst, that 0-3 team. I don't know what that game on Friday wasn't yet, though. I know they lose the Red Sox series, so maybe it's not. But if the Royals go on to win 2 or 3 against the Astros, then next week and take 2 or 3 against the Cardinals, and then whoever they play after the Cardinals, they take 2. And all of a sudden, we're like, oh, man, after that big Friday night win with Freddie Fermin, it was this great crowd. The Royals have now won 6 series in a row. Are we going to look back that Friday night and be like, oh, that's what the team kind of sparked and came together? Like, I don't think we know the end of the story yet. I agree with you. It doesn't look like Freddie Fermin's walk-off on Friday night is the same spark that Ken Harvey's was. But it's possible it was, and it's just, hey, they got a little sluggish after that one, but now they're about to rev up and really go. I mean, we saw this team win a series against the Astros. The Cardinals across the state are absolutely nothing to brag about. Like, I can see the Royals get hot a little bit, and then they head out west. I could see the Royals get a little bit hot, and I think we then, with that knowledge, would say, oh, look, they really got going after that big Friday night walk-off. I agree with you, but I don't think the story's written quite yet to say it didn't happen that way.
Yeah, I mean, I think we just have to get more information. I think we have to see how things continue to play themselves out. We'll get back to the Royals coming up at the top of the hour. We'll also talk some football coming up at the top of the hour in the hits. Rob, if you can get the NBA music together, so maybe you missed the news, but NBC is getting back into the professional basketball business. You guys remember back in the day, NBA on NBC. They haven't had the NBA for, I believe, 23 years. They are going to be back next year as one of the television partners. Amazon's also going to be one. ESPN, that's going to be their television package moving forward. TNT Turner is not going to be included in the NBA package. Well, NBC is rolling out all the stops. They have Michael Jordan is going to be a special contributor to the broadcast. Now, what does this mean? We don't know yet what special contributor means. If I had to guess, I think Mike maybe does an interview with LeBron or Steph or one of those kind of players at some point, which would be incredible to see. I'm also guessing that they have him as part of the voiceovers and part of the broadcast in that way. This is my question, and this is my old man standing on the cloud moment for the day. I don't have a problem with the way ESPN is today. I think the model eventually had to change. I grew up like you, love SportsCenter, love the way the ESPN used to be. That's not a viable business model in 2025. You can't just show highlights all day. This is my problem, though. I also want more balance than just nonstop opinions. Maybe I shouldn't say this as somebody who gets paid to give my sports opinions, but I also want the television to give me a wider range of things. I want storytelling, too. We used to do a really good job of telling stories around these players and building the mythology about these players. I don't feel like we do that nearly enough anymore. You know what I'm excited about? I'm excited to see NBC potentially get back to the storytelling of basketball. The major difference between the way that the NBA is covered and the way that the NFL is covered is, in the NFL, we talk about the games. In the NBA, we simply argue about the storylines and we argue about what those storylines mean in that person's career and in the context of their legacy. We don't just have those conversations in football. We talk about the game and what this team needs to do, and then we talk about what it means for legacy, and then we talk about the storylines. I just want to see the NBA covered in a very different way, and I'm excited, Rob, that NBC is back in business, and I'm hoping we get back to the storytelling of professional basketball. Give me the introductions. Part of what was cool in the 90s was the Bulls introductions. Players don't get introduced. Why can't we make it a show anymore like we used to back in the day?
You're telling me you're not a fan of Stephen A. Smith arguing in July about LeBron's legacy? You don't like in October that when the Lakers are 0-1, we talk about, is this a failure that the Lakers drafted Bronny James? You want actual content about the basketball games? What? That is not what we do in the NBA. We scream and yell about things that don't matter in the large scheme of things because the individual games, that's not the story in that sport.
I just think we can do all of those things. I really think that the people that like the NBA are pushing back on how the NBA is covered. The NFL, they do such a great job. They make you feel like every game is important and it matters. And if you miss it, it is the worst thing that you could possibly do to miss this game. The NFL is constantly building itself up and telling you how great it is. The NBA, they tell you why you shouldn't be watching the NBA. It just doesn't make sense. I'm just hoping we get back to the basics. I love the opinions. I want opinions. I also want the stories. I also want the education. Show me what happened on this play. We do that all the time when we watch football games. I don't know why we stopped doing that, covering basketball. Coming up at the top of the hour, we'll talk about the Chiefs' schedule. At least we have a good idea of what their first game is possibly going to be. We'll also talk about the Royals that lost this weekend series against the Boston Red Sox. Keep it right here, so drive.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company, from America for America.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. we're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.